Blog Talk Radio.
Say Word is set up. You know what? You know why I set it up? I set it up because you know what? Talk is cheap, man.
But you won't let anybody come in and control the economy of your community. Control the housing, control the education, control the jobs, control the businesses.
What did you do? Other than you sitting here, you telling me about how you feel about it, what did you do about it? Did you write your senator, your congress? Did you do anything? Did you go outside and did you hold up a picket sign? No, you didn't.
But it's a matter of either we stay like this or somebody sacrifices. Somebody lay a track so we don't stay in a 360-degree deadly circle. You know what I'm saying? Somebody has to break out and risk, you know, losing everything and being poor and getting beat down. But somebody has to do something. And we just got to be smarter and sharper, or they're going to start taking away each and every person that steps forward to do anything positive for the community. So that's why you wonder why everybody want to live a negative lifestyle. It's safer.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you, everyone, for joining us with another session of Free Your Mind Wednesday on Say Word Radio. This edition is August 10th of 2016. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Just wanted to do a quick recap of what's been going on in the world this week. Hope everyone is enjoying the Olympics, everyone enjoying their gold medalists, their silver medalists, their bronze medalists, getting their accolades. Just want to take a moment out for everyone to realize that while the Olympics is in Rio, and that's a very good thing, at the same time, that's one of the biggest disparities in between the haves and the have-not in that location. So just take a moment to appreciate what it is that you have and also be mindful of the people that are close to us, probably six steps away, who don't have anything really. Also, would like to take a moment out to have a quick moment of silence for Dr. CB, who passed. He was a holistic healer, if you will. It is said that he was able to cure AIDS, cancer, a whole slew and multitude of diseases just by nutrition alone. So definitely the world is going to miss a very great man that walked this earth this passing week. We have two interesting topics for us later on tonight. Please feel free to jump in. Again, this is Free Your Mind Wednesday. If you'd like to mention your own topic, I want to go ahead and bring on a few of our guest speakers a little bit later as well. But again, thank you everyone for tuning in.
Go.
Storks know how to keep kids safe. Do you?
What?
Oh, my gosh, you don't know.
I know.
You don't. Oh, man, you laugh when you're uncomfortable.
No.
Making sure your child is in the right car seat is one of the steps to safer travel.
I will rock this.
You will rock this.
To know for sure that your child is in the right car seat for their age and size, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
Cool, cool, cool. Very cool, very cool.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, let's go.
Storks know how to keep kids safe. Do you?
What?
Oh, my gosh, you don't know.
I know.
You don't. Oh, man, you laugh when you're uncomfortable.
No.
Making sure your child is in the right car seat is one of the steps to safer travel.
I will rock this.
You will rock this.
To know for sure that your child is in the right car seat for their age and size, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
Cool, cool, cool. Very cool, very cool.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Thank you. Thank you again for tuning in to Say Word, Free Your Mind Wednesday edition. The two topics that we chose to discuss this week, first topic up is, in this day and age, are we victims of circumstance or victims of our own circumstances? See which way you want to spin that. In addition to that, the other topic that we chose to discuss this week is, Black America still divided by light skin and dark skin? Do we still have that slave mentality inside of us to where the lighter you are, the better you are, the more acceptable, the easier it is for you to pass and be accepted in white America? Pretty interesting topics to cover. Either one that's imposed on us by society, or one I guess I would say that we impose on ourselves individually. Would like to see how you guys feel about the current topics that are listed. What are your thoughts? What are your ideas? And what are the solutions to be able to change and fix the problems that we see in our communities? Again, if you have any further topics that you want to cover, this is Free Your Mind Wednesday. Feel free. Please keep it G-rated. Thank you very much. But this is an open forum for us to be able to discuss. Now, for every issue or problem that you do see in the community, please, please, we ask that you also have a solution to be able to correct it, or have an idea on how you would like for it to move forward so that way it can be corrected. It's always appreciated. It's not always about discussing the problem, but ideally you want to be able to formulate a solution on how to fix the problem. That's how we get things done. All right. We should be getting ready to bring our guests on in a little bit. I hope everyone's excited about the topics that we have to cover today. Again, just as a recap, if you're wanting to call in, unless you're online, the number is going to be 646-787-1988. And again, thank you very much for tuning in. It's my pleasure to have you all online. All right. One of our other guest speakers should be joining us very, very shortly. Comment on topics that we have before us today or this evening. What I do want to discuss, or rather the topic that I chose, is Black America still divided by light and dark skin? I know a lot of people, or rather for myself, it doesn't seem like it's that important. But in light of the things that have been happening specifically related to the Olympics, as far as our gymnasts and a couple other people in the media as well who get bashed for being darker skinned, do we favor, or does culture dictate if we favor lighter skin over darker skin? Do we still feel that that's the same way in 2016, or have we surpassed that, or is it another underlying issue? Which was my question. For those of you who are watching the Olympics, have you been able to see any of the comments that were given about our poor gymnast and her edges or her hair not being done as good as it should have been? Now, mind you, this is an Olympic athlete, and the discussion was about her hair. Kind of sounds ridiculous. But at the end of the day, is that anything that we should be concerned about? with this young, impressionable girl for us to be concerned about her hair or even her appearance, nevertheless? And would we be as concerned if she were a lighter-skinned athlete? Would that really be our concern? The other topic that we chose to cover for today, or at least bring up for today, is in this day and age, are we victims of circumstance or victims of our own circumstances? That's our other host. Rob will go a little bit further in detail on that, but I would like you all to think about that for just 1 second. So the world that we live in, the technological age that we are right now, are we victims to the things that happen to us? Or victims created through ourselves by our own doing in our daily lives and people that we vote for, the government, the air, the water, everything that's around us. Do you feel that it's all against you or that you have some control over what's going on in your life? Pretty interesting topic with this election year coming up, which I know for a fact will be a topic covered very, very soon. Because we have some really awesome candidates out there right now.
So, Bird.
Yes, sir.
So we wanna welcome all of our Say Word listeners today. That's just either commenting today or they're just wanting to just listen to the show. So we welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So we want to thank everybody. We normally broadcast live every Wednesday. Not only that, you can reach us at sayword.us to leave your comments and suggestions on upcoming topics, anything that you've wanted to talk about or things that you feel like that may be important to discuss in our communities or anything that's going on in the world. So this radio station, Say Word, was designed for us to, as Black individuals and individuals as a whole, to have the conversation and, more importantly than anything, find the solutions. So we got another co-host on here, Coop. Coop, you there? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hey, Coop, what's going on, man?
What's going on? Say word.
Say word.
Say word.
All right, so we got Coop on. So, Bird, I know that I didn't get a chance to. I was trying to pinpoint on some of these callers, so I didn't get, and I do apologize. I didn't get a chance to kind of listen to exactly. I know what our topics are today, but did you touch base? I know you were touching base on some of the things about the Olympics, and can you reiterate that just a little bit more for me?
Of course I can. I just wanted to, for everyone to be mindful that, the Olympics is in Rio. Now, the Olympics coming to any city, state, country is a good thing. That usually brings in revenue. But Rio, out of all the places that I can think of, is the greatest disparity between the haves and have-nots. I know I came across a picture where they have the stadium looking all bright and lit up in the background, but then you have the ghetto basically right there where children are standing in dirt and grime and don't have clothes on. So just everyone take a moment out and be appreciative of what they have. Because there is someone out there probably not too far away who doesn't have anything. So just want to be, thankful, understand that you are blessed. If you are tuning in, you're listening, it sounds like you're doing fairly well to me, and also remember those people who aren't doing as well. Also wanted to just mention rest in peace or rest in power to Dr. Sebi, who passed this week, a very awesome man who is a holistic healer. He died while in police custody. I won't go into that topic right now, but we've lost a truly great person on this earth with his passing. And just wanted to have a moment of silence for him. Outside of that, as far as news, I didn't have anything to cover additional. Coop, you there? You want to bring up anything that you've seen this week so far?
Yeah, just to touch bases on the Olympics, I think that was a little bit much, with her being an athlete, like you said, because I'm an athlete, and I play ball all the time. So yeah, you're not going to be, you know, a beauty queen when you're out there trying to handle your business. So I think with that, to me, that kind of touched home base to me, because it seems like it happens every year. Every year, one of us, you know, do great things and do good things. It's always some negative baggage, you know. So I kind of think that we need to do better in that aspect. You know, kind of promote each other. You know, just like we do. You know.
Mhm. Collectively amongst, say, we're a family. You mean?
Exactly.
Or just in general? Yeah.
We're both. You know, I mean, we have to. You know, we have to support us a little bit more than what we're doing.
Yeah, a lot more. I mean, I've heard for the longest, you know, they're talking about standards of beauty and things like that. And, I mean, in my opinion, Venus and Serena are, like, the elite class of what goals should be as far as, like, the female body. They're a bit muscular, yes, but, I mean, in my opinion, they're still womanly. They're still fit. I feel like they're gorgeous. But, you know, the other side of the coin, I hear they're too manly, they're too brolic, they, you know, things of that nature. And, I mean, they're world-class athletes. What would you expect them to look like?
Right. They're just in shape. That's it. You know, there's nothing else. That's all. There's nothing else to reach for. They're in shape. They're athletes. So you got to expect mm-hmm. them to be in shape that way.
Mm-hmm. I personally don't think they look good, but, you know, we have Caitlyn Jenner. I think that's his name. Yeah, that's getting nominated Woman of the Year, which I'm not even close to the transgender issue, because that's something that's completely different. But, I mean, to be Woman of the Year, I think it should include some type of humanitarian effort. But, again, I know a lot of that is involved with the transgender movement, which I feel is just something completely different. But if you're going to say that that's Woman of the Year, then definitely I feel like Venus and Serena should have been made it. But I will say this.
Absolutely.
Thank you. From what I've been seeing, Brown has been dominating, and especially women, has been dominating at the Olympics this year. So I'm super happy about that. Super, super happy about that.
Absolutely. So what you think? No, go ahead, Barry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you all right. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Hannah, you know, what do you think about that the whole Olympic situation?
Well, Coop, I mean, with the Olympics, I mean, you got to see how, you know, people of color in general are dominating the Olympics as a whole. But, I mean, as far as categorizing people, I mean, me and my lady had that conversation about it. I mean, it's something that ignorance, you can never really stop. Ignorant people are always going to make stupid comments, whether it's their hair, whether it's the way they look, their facial expressions that they make. I mean, the only thing that I can promote on that end is just not to publicize all the ignorance. I mean, it hurts when it comes from our own people that saying that she should look a certain way. But, I mean, what do you say? I mean, again, that's kind of the whole reason we have a forum to kind of educate ignorant people that don't have enough sense to understand that these are, more than anything, these are little kids. I mean, these are young teenage women, you know, and they're in the spotlight. They're nervous about, being there in the first place, being able to do their talent in front of the whole world and then turn around and be criticized about how their hair looks. I mean, who cares if their hair were in ponytails? You know, so, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, but, I mean, you have people like that. You have the people that are always going to have something to say about everything. I mean, you can do everything right and still get criticized for the dumbest thing. So for those people, I try not to even pay or give them even a thought in my mind, because, I mean, hopefully they do the same thing. That's like the stars that you have that don't even check their Twitters or you know, things like that, their social media, because they don't want to hear the ignorance people, you know, spill out their mouth on a day-to-day basis. But
I kind of agree with that whole entire sentiment, though, to be honest with you. If the whole entire world is going to bash you, I mean, do we really need that? You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day. But just a moot point.
Well,
like you said, there's going to be stupid people out there.
Yeah, and I mean, what can you do about ignorant people that want to make ignorant comments? So, like I said, I don't even waste time on it. It is what it is. People are going to make those stupid comments. So, hopefully, these young women have enough self-esteem to know, you know, where they are and where they're going, and, you know, and go from there.
Not let that bother them.
Of course. I mean, it's the same thing as, you know, if I had a little daughter, that's just something that has to be instilled in her to know the difference of what people say and who you feel like, you know, who you feel that you are as a person, as a whole. But, I mean, again, that also touch bases is on your topic. And I know your topic was on the lighter and dark skin. Were you trying to get at topic more around the Olympics, or was it just in general?
It's a little bit around the Olympics, but also centered in general. I mean, I've come across, you know, posts recently, and it just seems to me that our darker skinned sister, our darker skinned women of color, whether they even be Hispanic, are not getting the airtime. They're not getting the media attention. They're not getting like the praise that I see other people receive. Who are lighter skinned. There's nothing wrong with, you know, being lighter skinned. You are what you are. But if you're a phenomenal artist, say like Fantasia Barrino, who's a wonderful singer, great singer, you know, you take someone like her who's gorgeous but dark skinned, you know what I'm saying? Would she have the same type of notoriety that she has now if she were light skinned like Beyonce?
Good question.
I just, those are things that I wonder. I'm not taking anything away from Beyonce, but if she were a darker-skinned artist, would she still have the same fame that she has now?
I'm leaning towards no.
I'm leaning towards no, too, because she had darker people in her group, and they got overshadowed. And I'm not even going to base it off of vocals because the Beehive rolls hard. But, you know, there's just differences. We should be able to appreciate, you know, you're good at whatever it is that you're good at because you're good at it. It's not you're not good enough because you're not light enough to pass. Like, for instance, when the whole entire beef came out with Drake and Meek Mills, you know, not just all mentioned music, but, you know, first of all, they're two phenomenal artists. They pretty much have the same type of fan base for the most part. Dre's a little more pop. But why did we have two successful young black men arguing over something that really wasn't anything to be argued about? I mean, there's no traditional beef like back in Biggie and Tupac days. But was that just contrived to further separate us as far as light skin and dark skin? I mean, aren't they on the same side? Aren't we all on the same side, regardless of what color we are? Or rather, what shade we are?
I mean, it can go both ways, man. I mean, yeah, society shows that, you know, it's an issue for people in general. I mean, not even just in the media, people in general of lighter skinned women and dark skinned women. That reminds me when we did a show a couple years ago. I can't remember the topic of the show that we did a couple years ago, but it was dark skinned. Versus, I think it was dark skin versus light skin, but I mean, a lot of people get a lot of feedback, or not even a lot of feedback, a lot of talk back as far as when it comes to the darker skin. You know, my lady's a darker skin complexion, and you know, sometimes, I mean, I can't even tell you how many stories she's told me in reference to just being a darker skinned woman. I mean, to me, I think dark skinned women are beautiful, but I mean, as far as society generalizing or categorizing lighter skinned women as more, or you know, that they look more like more beautiful women, then I mean, teach it its own. It goes right back to knowing who you are. So I mean, that sucks, but I mean, black is black. And but you do have the competition between the light skin, the dark skin. You know, it's like that old saying that used to be when, what they used to say, light skin is back, or the black is back. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I mean, you can take it, but I mean, I don't think that it's it's something that's going to be cleared up anytime soon. It's just, it is what it is. And as long as the media portrays their image of our women and things like that, then it's always going to be a topic that's going to be talked about.
Do you think it's more, but I feel like my reasoning or the tangent that I'm on is, do we still perpetuate that myth, or is that society's myth put on us? I mean, as a brown person, a black person, African American, Native American, whatever you identify yourself with, the majority minority, is that acceptable for our culture to gravitate toward, okay, this person is lighter skinned, they deserve a better job, or they deserve more pay, or they're simply prettier because of that?
I mean, the obvious answer is, of course, no. But, I mean, has society, like you said in your words, I mean, gravitated towards that? I mean, for whatever reason, it always seems like the lighter skin person. I mean, that can even go for a darker skinned brother, you know. It can always be to where, even with us, we can be hindered on certain things as far as employment and things like that, because you can have a brother that you know, light skin or fairly light skin, not even just a lighter skin, but fair light skin, that can get better opportunities. So, I mean, of course, no, it's not something that I think is, you know, something that's right. But I mean, it's just, that's the way it's been, and that's the way it happens. I mean, it goes back even to the slavery days, from the darker people in the field and the lighter people in the house. So it's like your house slaves. But
right.
Go ahead, I'm cool. I'm sorry.
No, my bad. I mean to cut you off. But as a dark skinned brother, I can say there's a difference, right? Because you know, sometimes I'll be working on something, or send somebody an email, like today, for example, we had a system down, you know. So I gave this dude a root cause analysis, and I'm firing off emails left and right, and never knew the guy was in my same building. Ended up running into the guy, white guy, and he looked at me like, you know, it was like I jumped off another planet. But I also think that there's more of a threat level to the darker you are. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but it's more of a threat level. So the darker you are, people kind of, you know, they look at you and I don't know if we're just inferior or whatever, you know, but they just have this prejudgment in their mind that your threat level is already at 100. You know, so I've been through that too. But I also think within the black community, I don't think it should be that serious. I mean, I think we take it to a whole nother level when we try to separate each other because really a skin tone. You know, I mean, I don't think that's right at all.
No, I mean, just based off of skin tone, I don't feel that that's right at all either. I mean, for a perfect example, I mean, there's no secret. I mean, I'm in my late 30s at this point. Particular scenario with my family, half of my family is both sides of my family are mixed. You got one side, my father's side, that's very, very light. They're Hispanic and black. I mean, very, very light. Red hair, freckles, very, very pale skin. Other side of my family, much darker, Native American and black. I was not as accepted on my father's side of the family because I was darker. Now, mind you, my mom is dark. I'm lighter than my mom, of course, because I'm a mixing of both of them. But just for the simple fact of my skin tone, you know what I'm saying, as a child, I remember not being as accepted by them. You understand what I'm saying? And that's through nothing
absolutely
that I could have done on my own.
Yeah,
so
I think
oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Bird, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The point that I'm trying to make is I understand, and at the end of the day, I don't understand. To me, that's ridiculous. You are what you are. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to love your family at the end of the day. But that generation being closer, I would say, to slavery, I don't want to say I understand, but I gave them a bit of a pass. But these generations now that are coming out, you know, whether you want to mix the races or whatever the case may be, you know what I'm saying? You love who you love. You're with who you're with. But just for the simple fact that somebody else is lighter and they would receive some type of favor, to me that's just asinine. That's just ridiculous. Like, what type of person are you on the inside? What the skin you display on the outside, the skin tone that you display on the outside, has absolutely no bearing on what type of person you are on the inside at all whatsoever. So if that's what people are basing it off of, to a certain degree, you're ignorant, and I kind of feel like you're racist, even against your own culture.
Yeah, and that pretty much sums it up, to be honest with you. You know, I agree with you 100%, because I mean you have a fight within, so we're fighting each other, and it's just asinine. It don't make any sense because one is lighter than the other, but we're all the same. Really, whether you black, white, whatever, we're all humans, right? So, I just think with us, I think we need to empower each other more. You know, just going back to the whole Olympics thing, I thought that was just, it was ridiculous, and these were grown women, you know. So that kind of behavior is talk, you know. That's generational behavior, you know. That's not
that should have been left back then,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, look, we have Autumn on the line that wants to comment. Thank you, Autumn, for calling in. Say Word Radio.
Say Word.
Good evening, family.
Good evening.
Good evening.
thank you guys for having me. I was listening to some of your topics, and there's so much that runs through my mind all day while I'm at work, and I'm like, yeah, now's the chance to talk to like-minded people. But, just to piggyback off the light skin, dark skin thing, like when you brought up Beyonce, I just, you know, I always come to Beyonce's defense because I don't think her success has a lot to do with how she portrays herself as a light skin person, as much as she appeals to other races, which makes her a bigger artist, a global artist. You know, because she's light skin, and people's own racism attracts them to what they're attracted to, their own skin. So I think that's the difference between a dark-skinned artist, is having that exposure so that a little Spanish girl or another light-skinned race can go home and expose that artist in her community, if that makes sense, you know. And, I mean, it's no different than a six-year-old white boy sitting in class and he doesn't realize that he has white privilege. He has no idea. But if he does, if his teacher gives him the white privilege, then, you know, is he wrong for taking it? Is he wrong for not realizing power that was unbeknownst to him? You know, and sometimes we do jump on, you know, those artists for not being black enough, for not supporting black enough. But, you know, you look at Beyonce's family, her whole family's light skinned, so that maybe that's a privilege. That's beyond them. And I feel that same way about, you know, other light-skinned regular people in our culture. They have no idea why you got the promotion and I didn't, you know. But I will blame them, you know, just from my own ignorance, saying, well, you know you got it because you're light-skinned. Not me personally, but you know what I'm saying. You know, and a lot of it is self-hate. You know, if you hate the color of your skin, the first thing you're going to jump on and say is, oh, it's because you're this color, you're that color. You know, I'm being a dark-skinned girl, I get it a lot. Some people feel like, oh, I could just say to her, she's pretty to be a dark-skinned girl. What does that mean? Am I pretty
girl?
Or am I
not pretty? Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, you didn't hit a hot button. Continue
okay.
on, because that
uh-oh,
is the
uh-oh,
dumbest
sorry.
Thing I've ever heard anybody say.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
I'm sorry. But I've heard that, too, and that is one of the honestly, that is one of the dumbest string of words that have ever been put together that anybody could say to anybody.
But think about
go ahead.
How long
I'm sorry.
People have been saying that to light-skinned girls. And, you know, imagine if they said it to us on a constant basis, the type of superiority that we would have if we were off in the motherland and everyone was constantly telling us that. You know, we would have that goddess image around us, which we need, but we need it for all of us, our light-skinned and our dark-skinned. But unfortunately, it's selective based on who it's coming from, you know. It doesn't mean as much if it's not coming from my manager as much as if it's coming from, you know, some light-skinned girl at the supermarket. So, I mean, that was just my take on the light-skinned, dark-skinned thing. But you said something about the Olympics. And what I was going to say is that I talked to someone who did have that, oh, you know, she could comb her hair opinion. And I tried to really understand where she was coming from, you know, to say she's a representation of us. And what I said to her was, you just have that same criticism for the women on the internet who represent our community. There's a lot more twerkers than there are black Olympians with their hair not done. And if you're going to hold them to a standard of representing us, you're going to have to hold everybody to that high standard of representing us. And I'd rather beady-headed Olympian than a twerker in the middle of a black and white crisis, if you ask me. So that's, it's all in perspective, I'm assuming.
Say word.
True, but, I mean, say word. From that line of commenting, I mean, what really is her perspective? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we're talking about a young girl. On top of that, is her hair going to prevent her from being able to do her job? I mean, again, like I said, this is a world-class athlete. I would hope that the person that's asking about her hair either, A, knows how to do hair and can slay all the time, since you're pointing out somebody else's fault, or you could do what the Olympians are doing and get out there. But that's right. If they were, then they would be in Rio, right?
Right now, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, listen. But, I'm an athlete, and the last thing that you're worried about is what everybody else is thinking about you. What you're worried about is making sure that your routine that you've been practicing for the last year is on point. You're not worried about, you know, what your hair looks like. Everybody else is, though.
Well, I mean, also keep in mind, Coop, at the end of the day, the main difference is, we're talking about a female. If your hair is not on point, if your clothes are not on point, if you don't look some type of sexy, I mean, they're not really taking us seriously. You know what I'm saying? So the only thing that they can kind of pick and needle at her clearly was her hair, which, I mean, I just don't understand that. But kind of to go along the same tangent that you were going on, Autumn, I mean, as far as like the difference, I honestly feel like if she were lighter skin, and maybe depending on what her bloodline is, she may have had a different hair texture. So maybe it would have laid straighter, and she wouldn't have had to be the beads or the kinks or the naps or whatever they want to call them, because now you got to be politically correct. You can't even call them that. So, you know, if her hair looked different, if she were lighter skin, if she were super pale, you know, would that have been, that's kind of the question I'm asking, you know, would that have been as a concern on everybody's mind? Would they have thrown out there that the people that were there for her were not her parents, that she was adopted? Would that whole entire topic of discussion come about if it wasn't just because she was darker skin?
Well, absolutely not. I mean, we're not talking about people who are obviously in touch with what it means to be beautiful. You know, beautiful is not just what you see on the outside, and we all know that. But reaching those masses of people who feel this way and spread their ignorance on the internet for other people to see, you know, that we're not one cohesive unit is why my rebuttal was, well, you know, if you're going to criticize this girl with all this talent and all this beauty, then you have to hold us all accountable for all of the ways that we represent our community out publicly, period.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I kind of want to go back to something that you said. The comment that you made, you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl. Were those from guys that were trying to get your attention or actively try to talk to you, or was this kind of like in passing? Because I've heard it both ways, and both times it kind of perplexed me, and I never really knew what to say or, you know, how to rebuttal that. I mean, I just took it as, okay, that's everyday racism, and I kind of just shrugged it off.
Yeah, I shrugged it off for a long time. Now I don't let it slide because I think part of being, you know, I don't want to use the word awaken, but being conscious, you kind of have to educate people every step of the way. And so when someone does say that to me, oh, to answer your question, I hear from everyone. I've heard it from old people in the grocery store to men driving by. I've heard it from my teachers. I've heard it from my family. I've heard it from everyone. I guess they're just, I don't know. I mean, and I asked them, I said, is that to say that being dark-skinned is a handicap and I'm an exception to the rule? You know, that's usually my rebuttal. It's different than if they say something about being plus size. Does that mean that being plus size is a handicap and somehow I've managed to please your eyes enough? Like, what does that mean? Please elaborate. I always ask. And they you know, backtrack and they're like, no, I didn't mean it like that. Well, say how you mean it then. Just call me beautiful and keep it moving. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, say what it is that you were, I guess, trying to say but couldn't say because you're not smart enough to say it. Like, I don't know. I like your rebuttal, though. I just, the few times that I've heard it, it just sounded so ridiculous to me. I couldn't even, like, I feel like I had brain cells that just died off by hearing it. Like, what? You know, do you know you shouldn't have said that? It's just, well, that wasn't obvious to you that maybe you should have just stopped, you know. I don't know. I try to make it a point. And I don't do this just because, but I do it because I personally enjoy dark skin. I think it's the most beautiful thing in the world. The darker, the better. All skin types I appreciate, but for me, just dark skin. So I will say this. I will go out my way almost if I see a dark skin person anywhere because they're just beautiful to me, and I make sure I tell them that. And I'll say this. About half the time, a lot of them act surprised, and that in itself wounds me. Because, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what shade you are, you have to know that you're beautiful. You, the light-skinned people, y'all get a lot of attention anyway, so I'm sorry. I don't give y'all as much attention, but if you're cute, you're cute. I'm keeping moving. But the dark skin, I don't. They hear it a lot. But, I mean, just, I'm for real. Like, the dark skin, I mean, just, I do hair, so I had this beautiful little girl in my chair. And she had the creamiest color of milk. No, she was dark chocolate. And when she sat down, I said, you have really beautiful skin. Really beautiful skin, my young queen. And she just looked at me, you know, like, thank you, you know, like most shy young ladies would be. But, I mean, honestly, I felt that in my soul. Like, you love yourself, love your hair, love everything it is about you. And if anybody tells you that they don't appreciate it, then you don't even hear them.
Right, absolutely. You know, Bird, to piggyback off that, I have a daughter, and she's, you know, she's dark chocolate like me. And she gets compliments all the time, and I can kind of see how she kind of, you know, it's almost like she's shy to say something, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice, okay? And these are beautiful people. I don't care what nobody say. And sometimes I think when you relate the darker you are to, like, that negative aspect of life, I mean, that's just the media. That's just the hype. And I really appreciate people who don't believe in the hype. So it's like, because I ain't a bad dude, so I don't have malicious intent towards anybody. So the people who don't believe the hype and get to know me for who I am, yeah, we cool forever. If I call you a friend of mine, you're a friend of mine forever. That'll never change. And I think that's what we like it too, loyalty amongst us. You know, loyalty amongst, there's no loyalty anymore. You know, there's more of, you know, bashing each other or, you know, talking trash about each other, whether, you know, this girl should have had her hair done or she was, you know, light skinned with good hair. Nobody would have said anything. But you know what? They probably would have said something about her fingernails or something. Who knows? It just... We kind of, she got, look at her ears, girl, you know, all this kind of stuff. So we bash each other so much, and I think it should be more, I think it should be more mentors. Like, I you know, my mentor is awesome, okay, he taught me everything I know. So I think it should be more mentors in the world. And my VP, she's a black lady, and she real cool, and she got, like, I think she told me she had, like, 22 people that she's mentoring. So I think it's a responsibility in a sense to kind of reach out to somebody, kind of mentor somebody, and kind of let people know that, like you said, you're beautiful. Just because you're dark-skinned don't mean that, you know, you should be shy or you should be, you know, you get a compliment and you don't know how to accept that compliment because you're dark-skinned. And like I said, and to play devil's advocate, you know, light-skinned people, whatever, you know, it's we're all the same pretty much. So I don't think it should be that fight amongst us. Like that whole dark-skinned, light-skinned fight, it shouldn't be that fight. I think we all need to kind of get together and kind of motivate each other and push each other. And the way to do it, because I know we all, you know, we want to make sure we have, you know, some remedy for it. But I think social media, just keep pushing. I mean, just keep pushing the issue. That's all we can do.
Understood. Miss Autumn, I want to introduce our new topic. Will you be able to hold on while we take a quick break and return with us?
Absolutely.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank everyone for listening up to this point. So the next topic that we want to cover after the break, in this day and age, are we victims of circumstance or victims of our own circumstances? Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes, I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I need leadership that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave you. Yes. Any leadership that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave you. They gave leadership to our foreparents, and that leadership made them slaves. But we have decided to find a leadership of our own to make ourselves free men. Our great scholars haven't passed through the colleges, the universities have thrown away the blessed record. Babylon did it. Assyria did it. France under Napoleon did it. Germany under Prince von Bismarck did it. England under America under George Washington did it. Africa with 400 million black people can do it. If you cannot do it, if you are not prepared to do it, then you will die. You race of cowards. You race of imbeciles, you race of good for nothing. If you cannot do what other men have done, what other nations have done, what other races have done, then you have better die. Can we do it? We can do it. We shall do it. We pray to God for vision and for leadership. And He has given us our universal vision. A vision that will not limit our possibilities to America. A vision that will not limit our possibilities to the West Indies. But a vision that said it must be a free and redeemed Africa.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you for joining us on this Free Your Mind Wednesday on Say Word Radio. We have our guest speaker on the line, Autumn, and we also have our other two co-hosts, Robert and Coop. The topic that we led off with coming back from the break is, in this day and age, are we victims of circumstance or victims of our own circumstances? Anyone want to weigh in yet?
All right, Bird, I'll take this one. Yeah, let me bring up the topic so we can have a general idea of when the topic was wrote, you know, when we wrote it up, exactly where we were trying to go with it. So the question that I pose is, in today's society, and just specifically today's society, with the with African Americans, blacks in our communities, and we see a lot of things that's going on in the world. But as far as a lot of things that's happening, and I mean more on the negative sides of our community, is it generally something that we're playing victim in now, in this day and age? Or is it still something that you can say that's hindering us continuously from the past. So I posed that question. So let me throw that question out there to Coop first.
I think, honestly, I think it's a little bit of both. And the reason why I say that, let me explain, let me elaborate, because I still see where you have that systematic racism. But at the same time, we have a voice now. We have people that made the ultimate sacrifice for us to have a voice, right? So I think that we need to be a little bit more, you know, smart about these elections and who we elect and just pay a little bit more attention. But like I said, at the same time, the reason why, you know, on the other side of the fence, we have this systematic racism because we don't get into these high power positions. We don't put people in these positions that got the best interest for us. So it's, you know, just the victim and basically we need to take charge of what we're doing now. When you got kids getting shot 16 times, that's definitely a victim. Okay. I mean, that's definitely, when you got a guy in Miami laying on the ground getting shot because he laying on the ground with his hands up, all kind of stuff. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of stuff still going on, but I still think that we have a voice and we have to voice our opinion on certain things and how we feel about certain things and not let it get swept under the rug, not let it be old news. And we have to constantly push this agenda. And I'm glad that Black Lives Matter have an agenda. You know, they have things that they're pushing because we can speak about it all day, but we have to make the change because nobody's going to change it unless we change it.
All right, so Coop, now outside of you know, the systemic racism as far as, like, you know, police brutality and things like that, do you believe that as far as the Black family as a whole, meaning financial wise, as far as education wise, as far as us being able to prosper in this society, do you think that that's hindering? And I'm gonna actually pose this question to Autumn if she doesn't mind. Do you think that our society now, the reason that we're kind of hindered, do you believe that that's still the issue from the past, or is that an issue now from our current situation, meaning that we need to still better our ourselves?
I mean, I'm with Coop. Is it? I think it's a bit of both, but I definitely think we both sides suffer from what Dr. Joy DeGroia, I believe her name is. She called post-traumatic slave disorder, where we all kind of suffer at the hands of slavery on both ends, because, you know, you have them still stuck in this. They have to be the most powerful, and they have to have a system to keep us in a certain predicament so that they don't lose their power. But you also have us who really don't understand what we're worth and what our lives and our children's lives are worth. And I think knowing that brings a sense of fear, because once you know what you know, you have to take action. And knowing what happens to people when they take action sets people back in the submissive roles that we've been playing in for as long as we have, you know, and until we get the power in numbers where they can't kill us all, then that's when we can finally do something about it. But in the meantime, we are just stuck in our own fears and victims to their own greed and supremacy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can agree with you on that. And me and Bird had this conversation when we were choosing topics. We had this conversation, I believe, on Monday night. And my question was that I wanted to make sure, or my question was that I feel like a lot of times now in this day and age that we make a lot of excuses about our circumstances. And I believe that a lot of times now we have the opportunity to better ourselves, but yet at the same time we blame society. And by us blaming society, meaning what we do as far as our finances, what we do on a day-to-day basis as far as with our free time, I believe it's a lot of us out there that are not taking full advantage of our resources. And by not taking advantage of the resources, that posed the question that is society as a whole in the past still affecting our future, when more on my opinion side, I believe it's not. Are we still, is there still racism that exists? Of course it is. Is there still less likelihood of us being able to get a job other than other individuals out there? Of course. But when I take a step back and I look at how much money we spend being the minority group in this country, how we spend three times as much money as other races, when I take a look at a lot of people not going going back to school or continuing their education, that bothers me. When I take a look at individuals, whether they're married, have children out of wedlock, whatever the case, fathers being involved in their children's lives, that bothers me to where it comes to where I take a step back, look at my race as a whole, and I'll say, what are we doing other than what the police and things as far as society is doing to us? What about the things that we can do to improve ourselves? So that's kind of where I was, because I think now it becomes an age, depending on who you surround yourself around. Because, I mean, I can go out and I surround myself around, you know, educated individuals, people that, you know, own their own companies and things like that. And you speak to these Black individuals, and I'm not talking about any of these individuals that are sellouts and don't believe in contributing anything to their community or and things like that. I'm not talking about those individuals, but I'm talking about individuals that own their own business and are financially secure within, you know, within their home and things like that, to where they believe life is beautiful. So you have a lot of us that believe that, you know, the white man's still holding us down and this, that, and the other. So that's kind of where on my end, and Bird, if you want to comment, that's why kind of on my end, I felt that I think a lot of times we're making not all the excuses, because, again, I'm not going to go full hearted and say that there's not, we're as we're trying to crawl to the promised land, we don't have a foot on our back. But I still think that a lot of times we're deterring our time and energy in useless things.
Bert? Yeah, well, Hannah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bert.
No, go ahead, Coop. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing about it, man. I mean, it's not like that. We weren't suppressed. It's not like, I mean, these things happen. It's not like our communities was left behind. It's not like our schools were F schools and everywhere else were A schools. It's not like, you know, we have specific Black colleges and, you know, a lot of these Ivy League schools and a lot of these, I mean, we have foreigners coming over, exchange students, going to better schools than we got. So that happened. That's not an excuse, but that happened, right? So we didn't have a lot of mentors in our community, a lot of the things that, you know, the rich communities have. And at this point, I don't even think it's a Black and white thing. I just think it's more of where you at in life, right? So it's a money thing. Where you at? You know, it's a class. What class you in? But we had that stuff happen to us. And like I said, I'm not trying to make an excuse or nothing like that, but we have to come together and realize that, like, this is what happened. And promote positive stuff to getting around that. I mean, we have roadblocks all our life. We got to get around these roadblocks. So I think we need to just get together on a positive note, and social media is the way to push it. And if you're not going to be a part of it, then we don't need you.
Bird, you got a comment? Well, cool. I agree, and I know, you know, the circumstances and the things that has happened. I mean, obviously, anybody that cares anything about anything would know the history of, you know, things that happened to us in the past, and also, you know, that's currently taking place right now. But the only reason that I ask the question is only for the simple fact that I'm very optimistic about the goals that we set forth for ourselves. So when I say this, I don't say this out of criticism or anything like that. I say this out of wholeheartedly of my feelings towards it, and also the enlightenment of hopefully things being able to be different for individuals that even may be listening to the show or may not even agree with me. But I know that the issue, I know that there's issues with things that take place from the past. I understand that. We all understand that. But at the same time, we have to take accountability for the situations that we know that are presented in front of us. And I think a lot of people, not all, because obviously you see men and women, you know, black men and women are getting, you know, more educated, are becoming more and more self-employed and things like that. And those are the one, you know, those individuals come from single family households, you know, have, you know, grew up in, you know, maybe even Section 8 housing or the case. But I mean, for whatever it is, maybe it's the people that they surrounded themselves around when they were younger.
Trust me, it is. I mean, it's somebody around, a mentor that they didn't even know was a mentor, saying, hey, you know, don't step on that piece of glass, it's going to cut your foot. You know, then you got some people who won't step on it, then you got some people who will step on just to see what's going to happen. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, can I make a comment?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, sure.
I was just, I mean, and listening to you guys, I'm still thinking of how, you know, when we talk about what are solutions, I mean, I still feel like as long as it's someone else educating our children and not teach them about money and you know, things that's going to make them successful, until we get our own educational resources or really in the beginning put our minds to educating our children at home, even if we have to send them to public school, then we're going to be stuck in that cycle. Because, I mean, you can get a mentor that's on part-time, but we'll put them in school full-time, and then we have them the other, you know, part of that time. We have to really put our foot to the gears and say, you know, who we are is important and what we need to know is important. And it's arithmetic, yes. It's reading. It's all those great things they teach you. But teaching our children who they are, who we are, and the power of money is utmost importance before we can make any move. Because if you don't know, you can make $1 million and blow it. And they do it all the time.
All the time.
Yep, that happens.
Understood.
All the time. Yep, and that's always Bird's biggest thing is finance. So, I mean, we definitely want to try to get some financial advisors onto the show so they can help educate some of our listeners with money. But you're, Autumn, you're 100% right, because I think the main thing is a lot of black individuals have money that grow across their hand and they don't know what to do with it. You know, it goes back to that old saying that says black people are new to new money. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I'm sorry, Bert, I cut you off.
No, that's fine. I really appreciate what Autumn said, because, I mean, this is something that I've thought about myself. I mean, I don't have children at this point, but I always felt if at some point in time that did occur, that the public school system, you know, as great as it may be, you know, I came to the public school system, I was going to have to deviate from that, because it doesn't teach them, you know, it teaches you how to conform, it teaches you how to blend in, it teaches you how to kind of fade away, as opposed to being individual, as opposed to learning about history and having appreciation for yourself. I mean, just even looking at some of the curriculum that the children are learning now, like, it really don't even mention anything about slavery. So it's almost like this generation that's currently in school thinks of it as something that just really didn't even exist. So they don't have that in them as this actually happened. You know what I mean? Like, this is why it is the way it is now. So if they don't even know, like, I mean, Autumn, excellent point. Like, if they don't know where they've come from and don't have any self-worth, then these problems are just going to keep happening over and over again. Do you feel, I guess my question to you is, do you feel that there should be some type of either kindergarten or Head Start or some other program in addition to, or is maybe homeschool like an avenue that we can explore, I mean, collectively as a culture, that would kind of supplement that?
Absolutely. Education is $1 billion industry. We take our children out of public schools and we teach them ourselves. then they know we're serious, you know.
Mm.
And
getting them where it hurts.
Exactly. And that's more important. And it's not to be, you know, I don't want to say spiteful. I mean, it is and it's not. But at the end of the day, you're not even teaching our children about us, you know. That's strategic. That's what I mean by systematic. Every corner you turn, when you turn to drugs in our community, when you turn into the violence, when you turn into single-parent households, all of that is strategic. You understand? So you have to point the finger and say, listen, you are my corporate, and this is what I'm going to do to change my situation. We have to educate our children. Dr. Umar Johnson is a big advocate for opening our own schools, our own banks, our own hospitals, because we got to take care of our own people. If I don't know if you guys seen this article that was floating on Facebook. I mean, even in the hospitals, they can't be trusted. They need our blood. They need our organs. They need everything. We have to get out there and really take care of our own people.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And which is why my stance is always, We have to be able to control our own money, and we have to be able to control the money in our community. I know, I believe this was either last show or a show prior to that, Autumn. I mean, it's just the comment was kind of thrown out, well, we don't own anything, and that's why we're not able to put in anything. I mean, okay, that's the solution
right.
that we, you know, that's where we are right now. But there's no way that you can sit here and tell me that people are rioting and getting into fights, buying the new J's, and there is no way that we can't come together to open up a school in our local neighborhood. There is no way that we have people that are tithing every Sunday for their church and building these big, ginormous, mega churches, but we're not able to have a school program in each community.
That's a strategy, honey. That's a strategy to keep the money out of our own neighborhoods. And I'm not going to go into the Black Jesus thing. I don't think now is appropriate. However, I'm just saying,
it's appropriate if you want it to be appropriate.
I mean, I feel like I'm not a conspiracy theorist by no way, but the information is out there. You just have to go find it, and you have to see that, you know, you were needed when you were needed, and now that they don't need you, they're going to construct a system specifically to keep you where you're safe. You understand? And either we're leaving or we're going to turn some things around, and it ain't going to be pretty.
Amen, sister. Say word. I'm right there with you.
Say word.
So, Rob, do you want to weigh in on this? I mean, I know we kind of took a little detour off your topic. I mean, I agree with Autumn wholeheartedly, to be honest with you. I feel that it is a bit of a 50-50. I feel that if we don't get that 50 from the circumstances or the cards that we've been given, and be able to change, not necessarily change history, but understand what happened in the past so that way we can move forward and also understand that you can change your circumstance. You can't do one without the other. So it's going to be doomed to – the scenario is going to be doomed to repeat itself because we have to cover both bases.
Yeah, I mean, it's as far as, you know, building our own schools and things like that, I think that's going to be very difficult. And I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to be on the negative or, you know, be negative on that aspect because that is a solution to the problem. But as far as to being able to build, I mean, the only way you can build your own schools is pretty much in predominantly Black areas, which, you know, those are going to be more of your areas that's going to be lower income and things like that. On a lighter note, as far as to being a little bit more realistic, time sensitive wise, I think that regardless whether your child goes to a private school or a public school, whatever the case may be, I think that us as parents, we need to further educate our children on the need to know basis, as especially once they start reaching middle school, high school, and especially college and things like that. I think if their public school is not, you know, giving them a curriculum as far as like finances and things like that, then that would have to be something that, you know, like similar to what Autumn was saying, that would have to be something that's taught at home. I mean, if my son, outside of him going to college and he's in high school, and before he gets to college, because I think these kids need to know this stuff before they get to college. So by that being the case, while my son is from seventh, eighth grade, all the way up to it's time for him to leave the house, it's my job as a parent to make sure that I'm educating him on the importance of money, the importance of financing and saving, building his future and things like that. Now, as far as, for instance, for as far as my son, my son, I've always had that conversation with him, and to each of his own, but to me, I believe you teach a child, especially a black child, to find out what their craft is, allow them to go to school for that craft, and me being as a parent, when it's time for him to graduate, he's gotten the education, whether it's doing an internship or whatever with the company that he's you know, that he's interested in pursuing that as far as his career, then it comes to a time for me as a parent and him as being a young individual that saved his money during that process, it's time for him to own own his own company. So I'm not into the aspect of ever teaching my child to or my children to work for a person. I don't believe in that you work for an individual, and I don't want to train them. Now, if they decide that they want to go and work for such and such bank, then so be it. But at the same time, there's nothing in what I believe in with our society. We have to have more self-employed individuals. So, it goes all the way back to being able to educate the kids and teach them instead of, you know, having to build a school predominantly for these individuals. It has to be, I would rather say build a community center and hire individuals within that center in certain areas to be able to go out and do outreach and do financial training and things like that, other than saying that we're going to get a predominantly black school with great educators. That's just going to be I'm not saying it can't be happened, but that's going to be a challenge.
Well, not to interject, I didn't want to step on nobody's toes. I really like that idea. Like I said, I'm with Autumn 110%. There are programs out available now, and there's curriculum that's actually coming out. I don't know if I haven't been able to vet all of it, but I know some of it is African-centered. And there is also curriculum through this school called K-12. It is not black-owned. However, they do have a global curriculum that you can use either here or China or the West Indies, wherever you are, that will be able to keep your child up to a certain level, to a certain standard, which actually is higher than U.S. standards. So, I mean, if that's something that people are interested in, I definitely can send out that information. I'm not going to sit here and tell anybody you have to homeschool your children. But definitely, you know, there is another avenue to where either parents that want to get together, because homeschooling is something people are on the fence about. You know, not everybody is in a position to be able to provide that type of environment for their children. But, I mean, Robert, your idea was to have like a community center. Well, if this curriculum can be available, but also be available with people who are good in finance to be able to bring them together, I mean, I would rather say, you know, start in the right spot. I do feel that the curriculum has to be updated, and it does need to be inclusive for African Americans and all the majority minorities. But I believe that there's a way for us to be able to do it and both sides be able to win. I think that we could actually get the ball rolling and start it, again, small steps. But I see that as not much of a challenge. In my opinion, all you really need is a location. So that's one way to solve that. I get from your – go ahead, I'm sorry.
So I said in our case, locations.
Well, look, there you go, locations. Because I feel that there's a valid need to that. Because, I mean, again, in school, they're just – I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed school just because I enjoyed school. But at the same time, I couldn't really tell you what I learned when I was in school. I learned a lot being outside of school. I learned a whole lot as an adult. But from what they were teaching, it wasn't anything that I really needed for life.
Yeah, well, I mean –
so we need an alternative for that.
And that doesn't teach you life regardless of any race. School's not really teaching the fundamentals of life. It's just teaching you generally how to work for someone. Because, again, half of the things I learned in school I would probably never use. But at the same time, you know, you still have to do what you have to do. But, you know, it'll be great to be able to have centers in the community to where you can build education as far as, you know, financing and, you know, just anything in general that can help our children, even if it's just after school for them to stay out of trouble. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a lot of avenues, but the solution, and you know, and again, we are all about solutions. It has to be an aspect of what do we do, how do we do it, who do we reach out to help us do it, and when can it be done? So, I mean, as long as we take those avenues, then we can start having a conversation. Because again, as of just like, you know, just like this forum, it all starts with a conversation. So again, we have to make sure we get out there and reach and network with the right people that can bring some of these conversations to ideas and then to production.
I agree. Miss Autumn, are you still on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Thank you so very much. I posed this question, and I'm asking of you because I posed this question to the fellas last time. My idea, because I'm in Virginia, I'm not exactly sure where you're at, and I know the guys are in Florida, was to find locally, if not the biggest church, the church that's closest to me, and have a sit down with the pastor and see what could be done about having a youth center or a community center or something that would be able to donate to us to be able to use or format that's either connected to the church or separate from the church. But at the end of the day, the funds coming from the church, because those funds are coming directly out of the community. Do you feel that that's an unreasonable request of our local churches?
No, I don't think that's unreasonable. I actually attend a church in Washington, D.C., Union Temple, who they had a few schools in the area. They have over 100 and, I think, 20 programs for youth and senior citizens to keep them, you know, keep them busy, keep their mind going. They also plan a trip every year to Africa. I think the problem you run into the church is their own personal agenda and taking up their funds, considering their donation base as well. But I don't think it's a far stretch to ask.
Okay. All right, cool. I didn't know you were that close to me. We might have to exchange information, ma'am.
Really?
We'll talk. But as far as, like, the fellas, I'm going to ask you guys this again. I know we had, like I said, we discussed this last show. I'm all for it. I'm saying if this is something that we need to revisit in, say, a week or two, because I honestly feel like if the church is part of the community. I know most black people are religious, if not super Christian, some branch of Christian, and I feel that should actually be the first step to at least reach out and try to gather support that way to be able to get the ball rolling.
Well, you already know we did a show on this before, and it was called The Power of the Black Church. So I'm going to say, just like I said before, if you go into Google, or if you go into even Yellow Pages, you put your zip code in, at least 20 churches are going to pop up within a 5-mile radius. So by that being said, I always believe that one of the things or one of the pillars that we have in our society is the black church. And I believe it's the responsibility of the black church to get out there and not only just do things as far as, you know, with that church, but I believe the pastors and deacons and whoever in those churches should be out there networking with other churches in their area and putting together community events just based upon offerings that they can put together and they can collect from their congregation, put together on a monthly basis, and put together centers and after school programs and you name it. I mean, again, it's hundreds of churches. And I'm in Tampa, so it's hundreds of churches out here in Tampa. If you can get these churches to get together and you can get these people, if I seen that my church was contributing to my very community, then of course, I mean, if I can see the production that's actually taking place and the productivity that actually that these churches are being able to get, who wouldn't contribute? And I believe that, to answer your question, I believe that that is the responsibility of the church, not just to preach and give us a good sermon, but to actually get out there and do work.
I definitely agree. I think it's more of with me, you know, I'm a little bit on, you know, both sides. I think the church have a lot to do with the responsibility, but at the same time, I think people need to seek church at the same time. I mean, because nothing is given to you. You have to go out there and kind of do your research and you know, take what you want. You can't wait for somebody to throw it in your lap, right? So I think, yeah, the church could have a really, really big impact on what we're trying to do. So I definitely agree.
I most definitely agree as well. I know it's getting a little late, so we want to try to wrap things up. Ms. Autumn, if you wouldn't mind, before we get off the phone, I'm actually have Rob get your information so we can stay in contact. But just something collectively for us three, and you most definitely can be included as well, Ms. Autumn. I try to give each of us a task every week. So that way, you know, it's just not always about talk. We're about solutions here. But not for the next coming week, but say within the next 2 weeks. Let's revisit this. I'll look up the churches in my area that I'll be able to go to. I know everybody has lives. I know everybody has responsibilities and things like that. This is why I'm setting it for at least 2 weeks, maybe three, depending on what's going on. And let's just kind of sit back down and revisit and see if we can at least have three churches listed that are in the area that we feel that we can go to, whether it be your home church and a near church. You know, three, just to be able, in case, you know, we're not able to get any results from out of the first two, that we can kind of at least reach out to and run this past them and kind of see where they are with that so we can touch bases, and that'll kind of cover at least this portion of it to see where we can start, again, getting the ball rolling and see some progress. Because if we don't start in our community, you know, they say it takes a village. So I feel that if we start locally, then after that, you know, it'll start to branch out. Does that sound like a good idea to everyone?
It does, Bert. And what I'll do me and Coop will go ahead and close out the show. I'll give you a couple minutes. I'll put you on a direct line with Autumn real quick so you can get her information, okay? And I'll bring you guys back on the line.
Okay.
All right, here you go. I'm connecting you guys now. All right, so Coop.
Yo.
All right, man, so what do you think about tonight's show? Any closing? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, tonight was good. The only thing I heard was one advertisement. I think it played two times in a row. Well, other than that, I think everything turned out real good. I mean, I have to get used to it. You know, notice I ain't cursed. I gotta get used to it though.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm actually sitting at the table working, man. I'm actually logged on to the network, kid, working like a slave.
Yeah. Well, Coop, go ahead and do me a favor, man. Just go ahead and, because you're still on the air, so go ahead and just you're all right. Just go ahead and just wrap up, you know, anything that you want to check in on, or any last comments that you want before we bring the ladies back on.
I want to say, because I sent this call in number to a few people, so I'm not sure if people called in or whatever, but it just in case people are, you know, listening and calling in, I want to say thank you. Keep calling in. We're going to continue doing what we're doing, bringing awareness to our community, and we have to stick together at all costs. At all costs, we have to. That's the only remedy, right? So that's the only remedy to what we're trying to do. And I'm inclined to say if you're not a part of what we're trying to do, then we don't need you. If you're negative to the point where we're not trying to big each other up or look out for each other or help each other, then we don't need you.
Say word.
That's all I need to say. Say word.
Say word. So I mean. We're going to go ahead, and I don't know if Bird and them are ready to come back on, But just to close out, you know, basically, Say Word is actually put together to get a group of like-minded individuals, regardless of race, creed, or whatever the case may be, to be together to talk about the issues that go on in our society, whether it's our government, our communities, families, whatever the case may be. But this is a forum to where you have the ability to express yourselves. We would like to agree to disagree without disrespecting each other in any aspect of the word, because people, you know, have difference of opinion. But again, the whole reason for it is to have solutions. So, you know, we want to be able to do that going forward and also be able to resolve our issues with solutions, because, you know, talk, just like the intro, talk is cheap. So as long as the talk is cheap, then we won't move forward as a society. So let me see if we got All right, so I mean, just by that being said, we're gonna go ahead and bring Bird back on, and we'll bring Bird back on, and we'll bring Autumn back on to see if they want to have a closing. Autumn, would you like to close out with anything, any words of wisdom or anything before we close out?
You guys love putting them on the spot, don't you?
I mean, you don't have to, but I mean, we know them to do that.
I wish everyone.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I just hope everybody's safe out here. You know, everyone, we just have to all do our work. I really appreciate you guys having me and giving me something to think about, honestly. And again, everybody, I want y'all to be safe out there.
Absolutely.
Say word.
Say word.
Pretty much the same. Everyone be safe. If you see things that don't look right, don't be so quick to be afraid to turn and record or to ask questions. You know, just don't be in that see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. If you see something that does not look right, please, by all means, take a second and see if you can help somebody.
All right. Well, that's gonna end our segment for this week. So we appreciate everybody listening to Say Word. We broadcast live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And just want to make sure everybody, you guys, always take an opportunity to find out what things that you can actually do in your own community, to get involved in your own community. And again, you can visit us at Facebook/ Say Word Radio. Leave any comments, suggestions, any topics that you want to talk about. Where, you know, we check the email for that. We look at the blogs and stuff for that to post that. And me and Bird always get together to discuss those topics in Coop also. So as the saying that I always say, you have to do what you have to do in order to do what you want to do. So that's going to end it for tonight's segment. I thank all everybody, Coop, Diane Bird, for the conversation tonight, and then also our caller in tonight, Autumn. Autumn, hopefully we get an opportunity to touch base with you in the future. Hopefully Ms. Bird has all your information to give you all our up and coming information that's or our topics that's in the future.
Okay. Got it.
All right, everybody. Well, you guys have a safe night, and thanks for listening to Say Word.
position to determine who goes to the White House and who stay in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You can keep Johnson in Washington, D.C., or you can send him back to his Texas cotton patch. You're the one who sent Kennedy to Washington. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and got it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last, because you're a chump. The party that you back controls two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you. Anytime you throw your weight behind a political party that controls two-thirds of the government and that party can't keep the promise that it made to you during election time, and you are dumb enough to walk around continuing to identify yourself with that party, you're not only a